News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterville Show. Good to be here with you. And I am so thrilled to be spending this time with you. I want to invite you to be a part of the radio program. Yeah, you can be part of the television program if you can find it. 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. It is hot. It is sticky. We will keep you nice and cool, but we will overheat you from time to time with the outrage of the day. And certainly no shortage of outrage coming out of this Afghanistan surrender, departure, retrograde, whatever word you want to use. There's Jen Psaki. She's up on the big screen briefing the reporters. We had a briefing take place from SecDef, Lloyd Austin, and, of course, General Milly White Rage Vanilli. He came out and he talked about his experience in Afghanistan. This is a very clever media sort of play that the White House is doing. Yesterday, you had President Biden come out, and it was a mixture. You know it. You heard it while you were listening to this program, or you watched it in the overnight. You heard President Biden come out very annoyed at having to explain to you regular, ordinary people his rationale for shutting it down in Afghanistan. And it wasn't readily apparent until I was driving home last night, going through some of the weather that was out there, and my brain started wandering. And I found myself thinking about how ironic it was that the president of the United States, the guy that his son, the smartest guy he's ever known, right? That's Hunter Biden. Joe Biden said Hunter Biden is the smartest person that Joe Biden has ever met in his life. Remember what Hunter Biden used to call Joe Biden? Remember what he used to refer to him as with the shakedowns? Mr. What? Mr. 10%. And that president left 10% of the Americans behind in Afghanistan. And I thought to myself, that is just so weirdly symbiotic, isn't it? That here's a guy who made a lot of money grifting while he was on his way to the top. As the vice president of the United States, obviously made a lot of money while he was vice president of the United States. I mean, that much is all readily apparent from the reporting in a number of outlets. And it was Hunter Biden who was in partnership with the Chinese Communist Party and was saying that they wanted to keep 10% aside for the big guy. He was the big guy. I mean, this is all stuff that's not even in dispute. I mean, this isn't like QAnon stuff or Alex Jones conspiracy material. This is actual stuff. The president of the United States was in league and in business with Hunter Biden and the Chinese Communist Party, and they used to call him Mr. 10%, and he left 10% of the Americans behind. And then they went and they tried to revise it overnight with this report, and they said, oh, gosh, you know what? It's not 10%. We left 2% behind, including a three-year-old American boy. Did you know that? There was a three-year-old American boy that was left stranded with the rest of his family, who were then beaten, the three-year-old boy included, by the Taliban, who are our friends now, apparently. They were so helpful, said Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense, and General Milley. They were very helpful there at the airport in those closing days. It really bugs me to think about the disposable nature of children, especially in that country, because women and girls, we know what's in store for them. Those that are not being executed or sold into sex slavery, we know what's in store for those women and girls. And I don't mean to bum you out of the box, but we also left at least 32 California children stranded in Afghanistan. They would be part of that 10% or 2%, depending on how you want to give credit to Joe Biden. 32 California students are still stranded in Afghanistan after the departure on Monday. The San Juan Unified School District near Sacramento said that 29 district students are stranded in Afghanistan. If you have a child, if you have a son or a daughter, imagine your child. I don't know how old your child would be. I'm assuming for those of you who are listening or who have school-age kids or school-age grandkids. Imagine that child being stuck over there in Afghanistan because it just got too hard to get them out as American citizens. Spokesperson for Darrell Issa said the congressman is trying to determine the facts on the ground and to see what bureaucratic barriers can be removed to get these children home. The San Juan Unified School District told Newsweek that the 29 district students stranded in the country come from 19 families. According to the outlet, the Sacramento Area School District is home to more than 1,400 Afghan refugee students. It's believed that up to 150 students were previously stranded in Afghanistan. So we just left these kids there. They're anywhere from elementary school age to high school age. We stranded animals, too. I know there are people who have been sending in what they think are correctives as it relates to things like military working dogs. And it appears that some number of military working dogs, or all the military working dogs, did get retrograded out of Afghanistan. But one U.S. woman was left behind in Kabul with 130 rescue dogs because the Department of Defense has a no-fly animal policy. A Tennessee woman who owns an animal rescue center in Kabul was not allowed passage home by the Department of Defense because she carried a disabled puppy in her arms, one of 130 animals that she was ordered to leave behind in the final day of the airlifts. This is written by Tori Richards. Tori Richards is actually somebody I know from out in Los Angeles as a reporter. Charlotte Maxwell Jones refused to board the plane without her puppy on Monday, so the military ordered her to leave and turn loose 130 crated dogs that mostly belong to Americans and Afghans who evacuated, according to social media postings. This occurred even though Maxwell Jones had secured flights from nonprofit organizations that had permission to land in a neutral country. She left the airport after being stuck there for 6 days, returned home to an uncertain fate. You want to know what happened to this lady? Not that Joe Biden or Jen Psaki care. The Taliban visited her at her home last week and ordered her to leave with her employees. She said in a tearful video posted on Twitter, she raised $703,000 on a GoFundMe page for an annual animal evacuation and desperately sought a landing permit. 5 minutes ago, a large group of Taliban left my lawn. One of them had a grenade launcher. They told me I need to leave immediately and tried to put guards inside my house. We settled on outside my house, Maxwell Jones said. They have said that they will give us safe passage to the airport as a group. They told me to leave first. It's obvious what they're going to do. Maxwell Jones was allowed to airlift military dogs. She handed 46 animals to Veteran Sheepdogs of America for transport to Turkey. The dogs were in a hangar and given water in preparation for transport. However, the remaining dogs were not so fortunate. Maxwell Jones begged the military to allow her to open bags of kibble and spread it across the tarmac for the suddenly homeless dogs. In the end, the dogs and their caretakers were explicitly not allowed to board military aircraft, and numerous private charter aircraft were not granted access to the airport either. Well, that's no surprise because they wouldn't bring those other aircraft in to evacuate Christians either. So they just left them, or they killed them, or they let them go, or we don't know. Those dogs, those children, well, that's just part of the 10% that your president left behind. Does anybody care? Nah. On account of it's done.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom! That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Before I proceed into the next big story, which is a huge story, I want you to first hear from David. We go to David next up. David, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon. First of all, you guys do a great job.
Thank you,
telling the truth. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm gonna meander a little bit, but I'm gonna meander in a entertaining way.
Sure.
First of all, I want you to tell Pete Callender that I'm sorry, but I turned his radio off last week because it upset me so when he talked about the Nazarenes, the three busloads of Nazarenes getting dropped off, and then turned away at the gate, and so they were there when the suicide bomber decided to detonate themselves, and that tore me apart.
Yeah, it's
so
pretty tough.
I had
tough.
To turn him off.
I understand.
But, you know, I used to think, you know, like the guy that went up there, you know, and said, I've got a bomb in my truck and all. You know, I used to think, they're just kooks.
Right.
But, you know, I understand. I get it now. I get the level of frustration. I'm a retired school teacher, and I spent over 20 years teaching kids right and wrong. Do the right thing. And it bothers me that these are adults.
Yes.
And it's like they have checked their brains once they enter the Beltway. to get inside Washington.
It's true.
And, you know, it's like those old movies, you know, the movies from the 40s and 50s, you know, you check your hat and your coat there at the cloakroom, you know, with the cute gal.
Right.
Except in the movies, they go back and they pick theirs up.
Right.
These people up there, they never pick their brains back up.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's true. But hold on a second. See, what they want to do, you have to understand what the system wants you to do, okay? And it doesn't matter if it's Republicans or Democrats. It's important to understand this. The purpose is to demoralize you so that you give in and you go, okay, my hands are thrown up in the air. I can't do anything about it. So, like, when you see that nutty guy with the bomb last week do that, you know, that's obviously an emotionally disturbed person who has no other way that he wants to express himself. You are calling a talk radio show. You are eloquent. You are tying it back to important issues and talking about how it makes you feel. Do not get demoralized by these people, because it's a long slog, but they want us demoralized big time.
I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not. Listen, come November of 22,
yes, sir,
I'm going to pretend I'm a Democrat, and I'm going to vote twice.
Come on. This is two allusions to criminality. We're not doing that. No, come on. But that's what they want us to do. Hey, you got it, man. I appreciate you being out there. That's David. And there's a lot of frustration being felt this way. And the way you manifest it is twofold. And it's going to sound like Pollyannish and super easy answer and all that sort of stuff. But the way you handle this, and if you disagree or you want to just sort of vent your spleen a little bit on this Afghan thing, I'm happy to talk to you at 704-570-1110. Because I can promise you this, Shep Smith's not going to talk to you. Sean's not going to talk to you. You know, other people on TV are going to talk to you. Anderson Cooper's not going to talk to you. I know you want to talk to Cuomo, but he ain't going to talk to you. I'll talk to you. Republican or Democrat. And the thing is, I think we're all Americans in this endeavor. Nobody wants to see 10% or 2% of the people left behind in Afghanistan. I believe people in this audience are smart enough and have enough goodwill to understand that this is not the way we want to go. We don't want people being left behind. And yes, we understand full well, we had to get out of that situation in Afghanistan, but it was the way in which we got out. And I want to use that sort of as a segue to the story that's moving out of Reuters. And we sort of had a glimpse into it yesterday. And it was yesterday just about this time. And it's a piece written by Aram Rostin and Nabita Bose, which is interesting because if you put the two names like kind of side by side, Aram Rostin and Nabita Bose, you feel like maybe you had some Novocaine put in on your jaw and you had some dental work done and you can't really understand what you're saying. But there's a piece, exclusive in call before Afghan collapse, Biden pressed Ghani to change perception. Now, I don't do the whataboutism thing as a rule. I don't do the whataboutism. But this story sounds a lot like the Ukraine-Trump phone call story to me. Now, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are not going to impeach Joe Biden over this. Wait, hold on. That was Nancy Pelosi saying, "You're darn right." They're not gonna impeach Joe Biden over this. But this is a really bad, bad, bad look. In the last call between the U.S. President Joe Biden and his Afghanistan counterpart before the Taliban seized control of the country, the leaders discussed military aid, political strategy, and messaging tactics. But neither Biden nor Ghani, Ashraf Ghani, that's the guy that ran off to the UAE with $1 billion, appeared aware of or prepared for the immediate danger of the entire country falling to insurgents. They have a transcript of this. These men spoke for 14 minutes on July 23rd. On August 15th, Ghani fled the presidential palace. I'm going to share with you what was discussed. We're going to take a deep dive into this because this is really important stuff.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter and say, breakfast is on me. Boom. That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterville Show. So in the final call between U.S. President Joe Biden and his Afghanistan counterpart, right before the Taliban took over the country, the presidents, President Biden and President Ghani, discussed military aid, political strategy, and messaging tactics. But apparently neither Biden nor Ghani were aware of or prepared for the immediate danger of the country collapsing into the hands of the Taliban. The men spoke for 14 minutes on July 23rd. On August 15th, Ghani fled the presidential palace and the Taliban entered Kabul. Since then, tens of thousands of desperate Afghans have fled. 13 U.S. troops and scores of Afghan civilians have been killed in a suicide bombing. Reuters got a copy of the transcript of the presidential phone call. This is important because how was it that we knew about Donald Trump's phone call with Zelensky from Ukraine? It was Charamella and Vindman and that cabal of people leaked that out. Well, apparently somebody doesn't much like Joe Biden in the White House because this has clearly been leaked out. Who leaked it? Could it have been Satan? No. Could it have been Milley? Could it have been somebody in the senior command at the Pentagon? Could it have been someone in the Central Intelligence Agency? The world may never know. In the call, Biden offered aid if Ghani, now listen to this. Biden offered aid if Ghani could publicly project that he had a plan to control the spiraling situation in Afghanistan. Do you remember what it was that Donald Trump said to President Zelensky of Ukraine? Yeah, we're going to get you military aid, but I want to ask you a favor first. We want you to look into this thing with Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and Burisma. Remember, that's what he said. And what was that called? That was called a quid pro quo. Biden said, I'll give you aid if you publicly project that you have a plan to control the spiraling situation in Afghanistan. That's a quid pro quo, Joe, is what that is. That's a huge deal. This might actually be the biggest non-military scandal of the entire Afghan thing. Because we'd have to go back and look. You probably could do a googly search for July 23rd, whatever the big story of July 23rd was. I don't know what it was. I'd have to go back and look. I imagine we could find that fairly easily. If you type in July 23rd headlines, you'll probably see it. Or July 24th headlines, which would be the next day's coverage. In the call, he said he would give him aid if he would publicly project a plan to control the spiraling situation. Quote, we will continue to provide close air support if we know what the plan is, Biden said. Days before the call, the U.S. carried out airstrikes to support Afghan security forces. The U.S. president also advised Ghani to, quote, get buy-in from powerful Afghans for a military strategy going forward. Then to, quote, put a warrior in charge of the effort. Biden lauded the Afghan armed forces, which were trained and funded by the U.S., quote, you clearly have the best military, he told Ghani. You have 300,000 well-armed forces versus 70 to 80,000, and they're clearly capable of fighting well. Days after, the Afghan military started folding across provincial capitals. In much of the call, Biden focused on what he called the Afghan government's, quote, perception problem. I need not tell you the perception around the world and parts of Afghanistan, I believe, is that things are not going well in terms of the fight against the Taliban. And there is a need, whether true or not, a need to project a different picture. Translation, I need you to lie to the world that stuff is under control and that you got it going on. Biden told Ghani that if Afghanistan's prominent political figures were to give a press conference together backing a new military strategy, that will change perception and will change an awful lot. The American leader's words indicated he did not anticipate the massive insurrection and collapse to come 23 days later. The White House would not comment on the call. Ghani told Biden that he believed there could be peace if he could, quote, rebalance the military solution, but we need to move with speed. The Pakistani embassy in Washington has weighed in on this. Ghani told President Biden, this is a big part of this story that you are not going to hear on MSNBC or CNN. He told Biden that what we're facing is a full-scale invasion composed of Taliban, full Pakistani planning and logistical support, and at least 10 to 15,000 international terrorists, which were predominantly Pakistanis leading the invasion. The Pakistani embassy in Washington denies those allegations. Of course they do. They are terrorism central. Clearly, the myth of the Taliban fighters crossing from Pakistan is unfortunately an excuse and an afterthought peddled by Mr. Ghani to justify his failure to lead and govern. Joe Biden told this president of Afghanistan to do a press conference, to do a media availability, to do all the stuff that makes it look like he had a plan, and then, he'd give them the goods. When Biden asked him to include the former president of Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai, in a press conference, Ghani pushed back. Karzai would not be helpful. He's contrary and time is of the essence. We cannot bring every single individual. We've tried for months with President Karzai. Last time we met, for 110 minutes, he was cursing me and accusing me of being a U.S. lackey. There was a second call with top staff, by the way. In a follow-up call later that day that did not include the U.S. president, Biden's national security advisor, fake Jake Sullivan, and General Mark Milley Vanilli, and U.S. Central Commander General Frank McKenzie spoke to Ghani. In that call, the area of focus was global perception. He had these other people lean on Ghani and say, you got to say that this thing's going to go good, that this thing's going to be solid. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a quid pro quo writ large. Joe Biden deserves to be impeached on exactly the same metric Donald Trump was.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom! That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Brett Winterbull Show on Twitter, at Winterbull Show, and at the Brett Winterbull Show Facebook page. Hey, do me a solid, if you would. Head on over to Rumble. Look for the Brett Winterbull Show on Rumble, rumble.com. It's free. You can go over there. And like and follow me. Like and follow my my videos. We put them up with great regularity. We'll have one coming up tomorrow as we sort of look back on what it is that we learned as a result of this this mess in Afghanistan. And we now know, I mean, with pretty strong clarity, that we have been taken for a ride by the administration. We were told in no uncertain terms, we have been told that this was not going to happen the way it happened. That this was not going to happen the way it happened, and it went exactly the opposite. This is yet another foreign policy failure by Joe Biden, who has never been right in 50 years. Never, ever, ever, ever been right in 50 years. It's incredible to be that wrong that often. Let's bring it local and close to home here for a quick second. CMS is going to go to bag screenings. Screenings will be conducted with no-touch metal detectors by trained staff with support from law enforcement, according to CMS. This comes on the heels of a lot of reports of firearms turning up there in the schools. All bags will be visually inspected. No student will be allowed to leave during the screenings. The last time CMS instituted these random weapons screenings came back in January of 2019, following the fatal shooting of 16-year-old Bobby McKeithen at Butler High School on October 28th, 2018. Our staff, parents, and students all wish safety screenings were not needed, but weapons must not be in our school, the email reads. Thank you for helping us keep weapons out of our schools. Well, there are laws on the books for that, right? I mean, how are we getting weapons into the schools? How are the weapons coming into the schools? Why are the weapons going into the schools? Why is all of this happening? It's illegal to bring a gun into the schools. Why is this happening locally? I mean, we're watching this coverage of this shooting up at a high school in Winston-Salem. Mount Tabor had a shooting there today, and all the news is now focusing on that to find out what it is that's occurred at that school. You're not supposed to bring a gun to school. That's illegal. Why is it that we have this approach in our country now where we have defined downward criminality? We have said, listen, defund the police. Don't prosecute people for this. Don't prosecute people for that. If it's just $100, don't put them in jail. If it's $950 in California, don't put them in jail. It's just $950. It's just an iPhone. I mean, you shouldn't have to put people in jail. Can we finally acknowledge that this epidemic of violence roiling across our country is an indicator that you cannot defund the police? That defunding the police is a tremendous mistake, and it is something that results in the deaths of innocent people? Can we finally acknowledge that that policy that was pushed, remember, it was Kamala Harris that was bailing looters out of jail during the Floyd riots. It was Kamala Harris, and it was her cohort, now President Biden, who took a knee and said he was on board with defunding the police. And they're going to come around and say, oh, they didn't really want to believe it. They didn't want to defund the police. They wanted to reimagine the police. No, they want to defund the police. You're seeing the logical extension of defunding the police. What are you seeing at the border? A wide open border that is effectively defunding law enforcement at the border. And especially at this time, with all the terrorists that are now going to be running around as a result of the collapse in Afghanistan, I mean, this is a really, really awful, terrible, tragic state of affairs. We want people kept safe. I don't have a problem with bag inspection at a high school. You know why? Because I'm not going to walk into a high school carrying a hog leg. I'm not going to be carrying a gun. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. And if you don't like it, then so be it. But don't bring a gun to school. You're not supposed to bring a gun to school. Hey, let me hit you with this real quick. This is an interesting story. Do you remember when Matt Gaetz was accused of sexual improprieties and trafficking? Remember all this stuff that was going on out there? What have I told you? And this is a story moving in Politico. So, it's one of the things that's happening out there. This is in Politico. Stephen Alford of Fort Walton Beach, Florida, is accused in a plan to offer to shut down a high-profile criminal sex trafficking investigation into Matt Gaetz in exchange for a presidential pardon. Stephen Alford, 62, of Fort Walton Beach, was indicted on charges of wire fraud and destruction of property subject to seizure in a warrant. The indictment alleges that in March and April of this year, he attempted to get Gates's wealthy father, Don, to pay a large sum as part of a complex deal dubbed Project Homecoming. The scheme Alford promoted would also have funded a private effort to rescue an FBI agent who disappeared in Iran in 2007. But according to the indictment, Alford said he could guarantee that one of Don Gates's family members would not go to prison if the money Alford demanded was paid. So all that stuff that you heard, you watched on MSNBC and CNN, all that stuff that you saw taking place where they were saying that Matt Gaetz was a sex trafficker and involved in all that ugliness. Where do you go to get your reputation back? Where do you go to get your reputation back when these sorts of stories move, when they're not backed up, when they're not given a number of facts to fill in those details? When does that happen, folks? It's interesting. It's always Republicans that are getting pummeled in this way, and you never hear about anything approaching the exoneration of them if in fact they're not guilty of what they're being accused of. Very, very strange. Very strange on a number of different fronts. Finally, there's this coming from the wacky world of California. Just wanted to give you a little tour of the nuttiness that's out there, the wackiness that's out there. Guess who has written yet another big check to try to keep America's sexiest governor in the office, Gavin Newsom, he of the French Laundry. Did you know I was twice voted sexiest man in my house by my wife and girlfriend? Well, my good friend Jorge Soros has given me another half mil to keep me in California to fight that California recall. Now, look, I understand I make your skin crawl. Even, let's be honest, Kimberly Guilfoyle couldn't put up with me, and she can put up with a lot. But the billionaire left-wing donor, I'm sorry, my good friend, Jorge Soros, has given another half a mil to keep my campaign going. No doubt they want to keep me safely in that governor's mansion and away from people that I might be able to frighten. You know how sexy a man I am. I'm Gavin Newsom. I approve this message. Hey, you didn't buy that time. Deal with it, Winterbull.
You're out here hustling, but you're also using the McDonald's app to have your favorites delivered to your door. That's hustling smarter. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app at participating McDonald's.
News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Great to be here with you today. Coming up in a matter of moments, plaster is now offensive. Plaster is now offensive. No, for real, plaster is stuff that you make statues out of and all that sort of, it's offensive. It's they're trying to figure out a way to get rid of it finally. But first, the new normal still in effect and kicking in as we get into a brand new school year. I want to talk about this for a minute because this is going to become increasingly common, and I want to invite you to be a part of the discussion at 704-570-1110. Florida International University has an office there called the Office of Social Justice and Inclusion. Okay, that's an actual office at the college. It's the Office of Social Justice and Inclusion at Florida International University. And for this new school year, they have released a guide for inclusive language. So this is the stuff you're supposed to say instead of the stuff that you would normally say. Because this is inclusive. Everything that you're saying is racist and exclusive and awful and vicious. So they've posted it on their website. It urges the university community to stop being non-inclusive and to stop using non-inclusive language. Would you like to know what some of these examples of non-inclusive language are? Waiter and waitress. Waiter and waitress. That's non-inclusive language. Steward and stewardess. Now, everybody knows that one's kind of gone the way of the dodo bird, right? People use phrases now like flight attendant and other stuff that I can't say now because it'll get me duct taped to my seat. The guide instructs the FIU community to replace the term man in words that are exclusive of gender and serves no purpose. What does that mean? Freshman, man-made, man-whole, man-power. Those should be replaced with first year, artificial, human-caused. Man-made, artificial, human-caused. We have an artificial human-caused disaster here. Manhole shall henceforth be known as sewer cover. Sewer cover. Manpower shall now be replaced with workforce. I'm offended by force. Why has it got to be forceful? Why can't it be work gentle? Why can't it be work supple? Why can't it be work turgid? Why can't it be work any of these other words? Why must it be force? Why can't it be work consensual? What? I mean, what are we doing? Workforce? No, Josh, you're going to have to improve your work consensual. The guide informs readers to replace the term man in mankind. Somebody let him know. Can you let him know, TJ? About mankind? He may not know that his name is changing. You know what his name is now going to be known as? Humanity. Would mankind be okay being announced as humanity instead of a word with man in it? Students and faculty are encouraged to use terms that include all genders, not just men or women, such as server for waitress and waiter, flight attendant for steward and stewardess. FIU sophomore Willie Buckley told the campus reform folks that the guide is, quote, an attack on free speech and a way of life because it's completely changing our wording and our personal lives. Freshman Zachary Stengel. Freshman, wait a minute, first year, violating the rules already. Get the paddle. First year, Zachary Stengel told Campus Reform he believes the guide is a failed attempt at solving a problem that is seemingly non-existent. The entirety of the statement is riddled with redundant guidelines for comments that most would not find offensive. The guide states that gender-inclusive language such as MX or mix, MX, mix, MX, in place of miss, ms, miss, mrs, miss, mr, mister, sir, ma'am, madam, y'all, folks, everyone, guests. Hold on a minute. Wait a minute. This is really poor editing. You use MX, mix, in place of Ms., Miss., Mrs., Mr., Sir., Ma'am., Madam. And y'all. Folks, everyone, guests, in place of guys, ladies, and gentlemen. The other discouraged terms include mother, father, or mom, dad, preferred pronouns, and women, men, restrooms. Instead, the university wants students and faculty to say parents, family members, guardians, caregivers, pronouns, chosen pronouns, and stalls, urinals, plus stalls. Instead of restrooms. Why is restroom offensive? I mean, this is unbelievable. Okay, we continue. Here we go. In order to avoid negating people's existence in relationships, FIU advises against using heteronormative and binary language. Instead of saying husband-wife, the guide says partner-spouse. You may kiss each other, for you may kiss the bride. That's not the same as you may kiss the bride. You may kiss each other means that everybody who's attending the wedding is going to start kissing each other all over the place. Only one person is supposed to be kissing and be kissed. If you say you may kiss each other, suddenly you're going to have a big old Clinton party going on. We don't need that. Stop it. The guide also characterizes the words homosexuals and sex change as outdated medical terms. Gay people and gender-affirming surgery should be used in lieu, according to FIU. FIU also wants readers to be aware of terms related to mental health, because some people were, quote, institutionalized against their will as an alternative to saying that person or behavior or thing is crazy, nuts, insane, deranged, demented. The guide suggests that person or behavior... This is terrible. Oh, I can't wait. I just got to do this before I go to Boomer. Okay, so you can't say that person or behavior or thing is crazy, nuts, insane, deranged, or demented. You can't say that. You're supposed to say that person or behavior or thing is surprising to me. No! No! That guy is naked. And he's riding a bicycle backwards on the freeway. That is surprising to me. No, that's nuts. News Talk 1110-993 WBT.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom. That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
All right, I just got to close this out, right? So I'm giving you the Florida International University word guide. I am going to go back on the phone. Don't go anywhere. I got Jim, I got David on hold, some others as well. But let me hit you with this, okay? So I just gave you all what it is that you're not allowed to say if that thing or person is crazy, nuts, insane, deranged, demented. That person or behavior or thing is surprising to me. Additionally, readers should describe themselves as sad and not depressed. But what if you actually are depressed? What if you are suffering from depression? Why wouldn't you be allowed to say you are depressed? The guide characterizes the use of these terms. Now, this is where you have somebody who clearly does not understand what words mean when they write these rules, because this is fantastic. This is where everything just comes off the road. The guide categorizes the use of terms kids, girls, and boys. Right? So that phrase, kids, girls, and boys, that's no good. That is generalizing and demeaning and discriminatory. To resolve this, you are to use the phrase younger person. Now, wait a minute. If I'm 65 and my spouse is 52, they are a younger person. But I am not married to a younger person that is, say, 14. Oh, wait, there's a parenthesis that says, don't judge people who are married to 14-year-olds. Why do you stop that? What's wrong with you? FIU also encourages people to use the phrase, I don't understand this at all. This makes no sense. This is someone who has no grasp of the English language. They encourage readers to use the phrase young people instead of senile. So grandma's grandma's battling young people instead of senile? Grandma's gone senile? Grandma's gone young people. FIU encourages readers to use the phrase young people in place of senile, even though senile means of or relating to, exhibiting, or characteristic of old age.
I appreciate that.
Finally, there's this. The use of inclusive and welcoming oral and written language is the standard for all our department documents, correspondences, marketing materials, academic coursework, materials, presentations, conversations, lectures, syllabi, as well as written and oral student assessment materials. Wow. Somebody went to a lot of work to waste a lot of money. A good friend, John, as well as our good friend TJ here, notes that humanity does have an offending word in it, and that's man. Humankind, humanity. Nutty. David, help me out here. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Well, I was thinking that it would be ironic if some of these people that want to twist our tongues trying to get out simple phrases were stuck trying to go to the bathroom and using their terminology couldn't explain to someone what kind of a place they're looking for, because no one would know a bathroom by the terms they used, and so they'd be sitting there cross-legged going, hey, a hole in the floor.
Let's see. Yes, that's right. Stalls, urinals, and urinals plus stalls. Excuse me, can I go to the urinals plus stalls? What does that mean? Now, by the way, isn't a stall a place where you keep farm animals? Why are they calling it a stall? Why are they not, well, why are they not calling it an excretory and or flatulent enclosure?
I like that, but it by calling it a stall and that being a place for animals, it might actually be a Freudian slip on their part.
Well played. I appreciate that. David, that's a very good take there. Can you who identify as individuals, can you please possibly come up with, like, something a little more useful for humanity? Oh, I said humanity! You know, I got... Wait, what's that? No. Really? Is there really a possibility that at some point we're going to have to implement an execution device against the host here for when he steps out of line on the different sorts of things, like, you know, the wrong kind of pronouns or a name or whatever? I mean, that's unbelievable. Come on, man. How do you know he's a man? He's Jim. Jim, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes, thank you for letting me on, Brett. We have a story moving out here that deserves to have a national prominence. But I have a question before I go on, if you could indulge me. If a guy rents a pink Cadillac...
You can't say guy. You can't say... Guy is not allowed. That guy is prohibito.
If a person drives around with a pink Cadillac and his friend dressed as Elvis and they meet Coach at Picante's for lunch, would that be crazy or would that be surprising?
It would probably be surprising, because if Elvis is driving around in a pink Cadillac, that would be surprising, because I'd have a lot of questions. A lot of people would have a lot of questions for him. What's the nationally important story?
Yes, we had an item break last night, a 15-hour meeting of the Board of Supervisors that was packed with citizens and spectators that wanted to have their say about the resolution that Nathan Fletcher introduced about the COVID misinformation, basically making it imposing ramifications for anybody who says anything about COVID that they deem not to be correct information. There were so many spectators and citizens that spoke that from a broad cross cut that they all had one thing in common. They were from every spectrum of the community, but they all had one thing in common. They all disagreed with Supervisor Fletcher, and they...
Okay, wait. So they're trying to outlaw even conversation on COVID matters that don't comport to this demented maniac's perception of the world?
What they're trying to do is... And they introduced it in San Diego because the San Diego city manager, city attorney...
Oh, okay. But what are they trying to outlaw? Are they trying to outlaw information or conversation?
You can't say you're not allowed to suggest that China weaponize a virus.
Oh, dear Lord. Come on now.
They're trying to get this. It doesn't have any legal implications.
Okay.
It passed.
Okay, well, you know what? This is a taffy pull. They're wasting your time and your money, and you guys need to go with heads on sticks and march. And you need to demand he resign immediately. You need to demand it resigns immediately. Because you're trying to control language now. And I know I just did like 30 minutes of making fun of stupid stuff coming out of FIU. But the reality is, you can't control language. You can't control what people are going to say. At least unless you're in, like, you know, the DPRK, man, in North Korea. That's about the only place you can do that. I mean, come on.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom. That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Great to be here with you. Our phone number is always 704-570-1110. So I was reading an interesting article, and it's going to tie in beautifully to my next guest here. Do you know that this critical race theory thing that's going on around the country, you have to understand something that's super important. It's not being sold like out front and openly, okay? So you don't have administrators coming out and saying stuff like, okay, and in third period, we'll do CRT. In third period, the CRT will be presented to the students. They're concealing this. They're hiding this. They don't want people to know how it's being handled, how it's going, where it's going. Sometimes they refer to it as racial equity resources. They refer to it as a number of things that are used to try to confuse you or make you think you're nuts. You're not nuts. CRT is real. They are teaching it, and they're getting really sneaky about it. So let me reach out to somebody who is doing something about this. There's a website up called exposecriticalracetheory.org, and it's a pleasure to welcome to the show Alex Phillips, who is spearheading this fight over at AmericanPriority.com to try to raise awareness of this. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what got you to want to start this website, exposecriticalracetheory.org? What was it that was the thing that finally put you over the edge?
Well, you know, I guess the riots that we had in last year, where they were burning down cities basically on the basis of racism, and our leadership in these cities wasn't doing anything, and essentially corporate America, you know, was held hostage and paid homage to these lawbreakers. Mm-hmm. But it was all based on a premise that, you know, all people, all white people or all non-black people are racist and that we have a systemic problem. And, you know, I thought for a minute, am I a racist? No. Mm-hmm. Have I ever been a racist? No. Mm-hmm. And anybody in my family ever been a racist? No. Do I raise my kids to treat people fairly and equally? You know, yes. Mm-hmm. Do I live in a country where the Constitution says everyone's equal under the law? Yes. Okay, so what's going on? And, you know, they're using, you know, kids are, you know, our future, obviously, right?
Right.
You plant the seed, it grows, and you cultivate it, and you get what you, you know, you reap what you sow.
Right.
And so they're sowing a lot of misinformation at a very critical stage in the development. Kids have it tough now. You know, they've got it tougher than I did. I mean, I remember I got bullied because, you know, I had the right shoes or my haircut was silly.
Sure.
Or, you know, my clothes, whatever. And now you're white and you're a bad person and you get picked on mercilessly. And, you know, it's just not right. And I think that I'm not against teaching about history. Obviously,
sure.
You know, race. Obviously, we've had you know, our country, our planet. Mm-hmm. You know, this slavery goes back further than, you know, the South and in Virginia. Let's mm-hmm. just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, history is an important thing, and I think it should be told in context. But I have noticed, especially last year, listening to NPR, which is a channel that I used to like.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I still kind of do. Some of those shows on it are funny, but you know, it's like, they literally are painting a picture of racism 24 hours a day that existed in the past and we should all feel guilty about it, and we should all pay reparations for it, and we should all be, you know, have this anti-racism or reverse discrimination situation happening. And I noticed that as a young businessman, too, when I first started doing bids with the city of Richmond and other counties, you know, how much advantage is given to minorities. And I thought to myself, you know, that doesn't seem right, but whatever, you know, what can you do? And now we're in a place where, you know, the teachers at the most critical stage in life, you know, teaching our kids are trying to sway them and make them feel guilty. And we're seeing it, you know, in many of these blue states. You know, you hear, you know, it's not the black people, it's the white people that are crazy, right?
Well, let me jump in here on this, because there's a couple of things at play here that I think are hugely important. The first thing is, any curriculum that's going to be unveiled to be taught in a school district, right? Parents ought to know what's in that curriculum. We ought to know as parents. I'm a parent. My kids are at the older end of the spectrum, but we ought to know what's in that curriculum. We know that there is a concerted effort to try to bring in CRT into the curricula in these different schools. But what's done is it's not shared with the parents. The parents don't know exactly what it is that's being presented, when it's being presented, and the teachers are taking it upon themselves. The activist teachers are taking it upon themselves to go out and push an ideology or a belief system. They're out pushing the 1619 Project. They're out pushing CRT. They're out pushing Ibram X. Kendi. They're out pushing all these folks. And the parents have no idea what it is that's being taught in those schools and what it is those kids are learning. And what's even worse than this, Alex, I think, is this notion that there's an implication that the kids are to conceal it from the parents because for whatever reason it's got to be kept a secret knowledge that the parents aren't going to be able to handle, and that I think is what has a lot of parents upset.
Oh yeah, because you know that kind of stuff's gone on for a long time, except it was exploitation of a minor. You know,
of course.
When the coach did it, right? Don't tell your parents what we just did.
Well, you're right, so, right. But it was also,
the parents. I think that what's happening here is that, and I'm a critical thinker. Okay, I think critically about a lot of things, and I don't want to just say this is all the critical race theory teacher's fault, because for a long time, parents have sort of abdicated their involvement. You know, my wife is very, very involved in my kids. Education. Yeah. You know, I'm a businessman, so I was busy, you know, making the bankroll, keeping the house going. But she was involved in the kids, and she knew everything they're doing. But a lot of parents are abdicating that, saying that they just want to give the school the responsibility, and they don't want to get involved for whatever reason. You know, whatever reason that is, whether it's selfishness, whether they're too busy working two jobs, whether they don't care, it's hard to say. Yeah. But as parents, we need to get involved in these things. And so they're taking advantage of the fact that the majority of the public in public schools don't get involved with what's going on in their classroom until it comes and smacks them in the face. Well, here we are. It's getting smacked in the face. Right. People are starting to wake up. People are starting to realize they need to pay attention. Then they're asking the questions. And so, you know, American Priority, we are about free speech. And with free speech comes dialogue and debate.
Right.
That means that you know both sides of the issue and you can discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the situations where the school districts weren't disclosing that side of the issue, and the parents want now to debate it, and you know they're getting a little hostile because they're not getting any respect for being the fact that they're the parents. They're the taxpayers.
That's right. That's right.
Especially in the public school districts.
That is exactly right. That's why I wanted to have you on. I appreciate you making time for us on the program today. You can get more information at the website, exposecriticalracetheory.org, exposecriticalracetheory.org. There's a lot of information that's posted up over there, and it's certainly worth taking a look at. I'm encouraging as much debate, discussion, and exploration as we possibly can. Alex Phillips, great to have you on the program. I appreciate you being out there.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom! That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Good to be here with you. You know, I gotta say something here. I gotta say something here, and I'm serious when I bring this to you. I love Motley Crue. I just love Motley Crue, TJ. 32 years. 32 years, TJ. Dr. Feelgood comes out, and there's another song. There's another song on that album that I like. I'm trying to remember what it is. We use it sometimes. What's the other one that we play? We play it sometimes. Yeah. Yeah, just let it go for a second. This is good, because we're like throwing everybody off. They're all like, is it 5 o'clock? What is it? What time is this? Come on, this is just such a good song. Let's just listen to this for like 30 seconds. Turn it up loud for those kids. Thinking they want to listen to Drake. It just makes you want to like do stuff. That's a great song. Hat tip to Mike Schaefer, who came in and reminded me of that. And I'm all sitting here acting like I'm like, oh, dude, I totally knew that. I kind of knew it, but I wasn't totally 100% sure. And that's why I have such a massive respect for our guy, Mike Schaefer here, who does amazing work on the station. Did I say it right, TJ?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's it's. Brett Jensen's going to join us coming up in the beginning of this next hour. We got a bunch of stories that we're kind of following and chasing all over the place. It's not lost on me that we're in a real battle for the direction of this country. And I don't believe it's a war, because I think there are a lot of people that use that kind of language. And I don't think it's necessarily a war. It's not a war for our future. That's what separates us from Afghanistan. But the fact of the matter is, it's a battle. We have a battle for the direction of the country. And I think many of us, especially those of us of a certain age, and by a certain age, I mean the people who remember what it was like in the later years of the Soviet Union and the bipolar world, right, where you had us and the Soviet Union. You had the United States and the Soviet Union, and we were very clearly the good guys, and the Soviets were evil. And we saw that wall come down, and we saw the Eastern European countries liberated, and we saw what that meant to those people. And that was done, really, I mean, you had hot wars and small wars and things like that, but really without a shot being fired, the Berlin Wall comes down, Eastern Europe is liberated, the Soviet Union goes out of business. And I think what is so upsetting to people of a certain generation, Gen X and North, let's say, is that we wanted more than anything to see the evil of the Soviet Union come apart, and it did, and it did. And you have a group of people, and I don't for the life of me understand their orientation politically, who desperately want to go to some weirdo socialist Marxist model. I get it. Capitalism is not as pure as the driven snow. It is not as holy as the Lord God itself. I get it, but it is a lot better than socialism or Marxism. All you have to do is look at the people who are peddling socialism and Marxism and look at the ways in which that has been sold. First of all, you and I both know that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. And I think it's fair to say that the very ideology of Marxism itself, from Karl Marx all the way up to the days of the early Soviet Union and Leninism and Stalinism and Mao Zedong, all of those ideologies are truly the spawn of Satan, much in the same way as National Socialism and Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini and Italian fascism and Japanese militarism. And they have all been thwarted. They have all been thwarted. And the only reason why they're still part of the conversation is that you have people desperate to dig up a filthy, rotting, diseased corpse of Marxism and socialism in the hopes that you can prop it up in a chair and tell you that the pathway to freedom is through subjugation, division, ideological purity tests, and an ever-increasing measure by which no one will ever be perfect. And that is combination victim, oppressed, what have you. Because the key lie with socialism and Marxism, and it's really at the root of a lot of the CRT stuff that's being brought into the kids' schools to try to confuse your kids about the way of life. The reality is, it's all predicated on a lie. It's all predicated on a lie. If you are anybody who believes in the Judeo-Christian ethos, you understand that the sins of the father shouldn't be visited upon the generations after. It doesn't mean that you don't acknowledge that the father or the grandfather or the great-grandfather did terrible things, but it is not visited upon you when you weren't alive and have no way to fix that. And what that does is it creates an uncertainty in the mind of a child sitting in a classroom. See, if you tell the kid that they're rotten because 8 generations earlier, those people were rotten, what you're doing is you're undercutting the future of that child's confidence, male or female. Children ought to be lifted up. Children ought to be affirmed. Children ought to be encouraged through positive reinforcement. And it's only because you have a collective of elite, wealthy, high-end educated, Stanford University, Berkeley, Michigan, North Carolina, Duke, Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth, Georgetown, you name it, Cornell University, Columbia University, New York University, those elite institutions of education that have become indoctrination centers, for future generations of people who have no desire to improve America, but instead destroy America. This is not a war. This is not a war. This is a battle for the future direction of our country, and you have to decide what side you're on. At the time of the Holocaust, European Jews came to the United States in the 1930s. As Hitler's power was locking in, they were coming to the United States. Intellectuals were coming to the United States to educate freely in the freest country in the world. We remain that today. The question is, what side do you want to be on when it comes to history? Do you want to put on the label of the oppressor, or do you want to put on the label of the liberator? I choose liberation. I choose freedom.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom. That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, hour 3 underway. Hey, look, in this studio right now, we have Brett Winterbull, we have Josh, we have TJ, and we have Brett. You said Brett once already. No, that's Brett Jensen who's in studio with us. Hello, Brett Jensen.
Hello, are we breaking some kind of COVID protocol?
No, we got all the plexiglass
it's
up.
Just a joke.
We got the dam up. We got it's the plexiglass up. We got joke. All the protection, the screening, all that is in there. Good to have you here in studio. So you've got some information. We're going to dive in a little bit of this. So apparently, test scores don't look too good for CMS. I heard.
No, they don't. To be perfectly honest, so these are the test scores from last year.
During the lockdown.
End of year testing was not done at the end of 2019. Mm-hmm. North Carolina legislature allowed that to go by the wayside because it was the first time people had ever been sent home from school and they didn't know what to do and how to handle it. But last year, if you recall, at the end of your scores, at the end of your testing, they required every single student to actually go into a school and take it, whether or not you had chosen and your family had chosen for you to be virtual or remote.
Right.
You were required to actually go into school and to take this test scores. And so they did that. And a lot of the test scores were just extremely bad across the board, whether it was white students. Well, say white students might have an 80% or 85% rating in math 1. And African Americans might have had a 40% rating in math 1 or a 30% rating, but the percentage decline was pretty even. Mm-hmm. So you might only have 70% of white students that were sufficient in Math 1, where you might only have 20% of black students that were sufficient in Math 1. So the percentage decreased, 10% decreased. But when you're dropping from 10% from 30% to 20%, that's a lot different than 80% to 70%.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And that's what we saw pretty much across the board. And, it was that way across the state. CMS is no different than any other school district in that aspect. Mm-hmm. Some had, Wake County and Raleigh had much greater areas in terms of the English and the reading and all that, and CMS did better in the math portions.
Okay.
Than state averages and stuff. So they're below the state averages in some areas and above the state averages in some areas. But, again, this was the numbers were pretty shocking to come across.
Do you know what they look like relative to 2018? You said like 2019, yeah, they didn't take it, but I mean...
We do, but here's the problem with that. In the 2019 school year, the people up in Raleigh changed the mathematics.
So they did it differently, okay.
And so you were automatically seeing about a 5% decrease. Mm-hmm. So you have to start at that level, go, okay, well, in 2018... reading across the board was, say, 60%. Mm-hmm. Well, now, and I'm not saying this is what it was. I'm just
the right. We're just using a number.
So you would have to start basically a comparison to maybe 55%, just because the numbers, the way they did the mathematics, everything was different. But like basically like this: college and career readiness for students grades 3 through 8 in reading.
Sure.
Reading 3 through 8.
Right.
College and career readiness. Are they on a path to get them to college?
Right.
African Americans in 2018, 2019 was at 30%.
Wow.
Pandemic, 16%.
Jeez.
Of last year. Hispanics, 29% in 2018, pre-pandemic, 14.8% last year. Compare that to white students. College readiness, grades 3 through 8 for reading. 72% of white students were on the path for going to college and career. During the pandemic, it dropped to 54.3%.
Okay.
So, but again, when you're talking 30% to 16% for the blacks.
That's a 50% decrease.
That's a 50%. That's right. That's exactly right. Where whites went from 72 to 54.
Which is like 25%. Can I just extrapolate something from this? Because we know for a fact that last year we lost, was it 8,000 kids that disappeared?
Right around in there. Yeah, whether they transferred or they just don't know where they went.
So the numbers are probably worse, right? Because if these kids were part of the measure, I mean, I have to believe because these were probably at-risk kids that disappeared.
Well, yes. Some went to other schools. Some went to other districts. Some
states.
Went to private schools.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
So then we saw Ernest Winston get nailed on the funding, right? And then they restored the funding to the CMS, right? I mean,
and actually gave $17 million more.
Okay. So what are we doing here? I have a theory about why it is we're so CRT dependent now, because we're not teaching fundamentals. It's easier to teach. This is me editorializing. It's easier to teach or organizing and protesting and whatever you're doing in the CRT than it is to teach reading, writing, and math, right? I mean, am I wrong about that? The fundamentals are not being taught.
Well,
they're not being absorbed.
To that point, the early grades, they're going to spend an extra 45 minutes a day on reading, and they're going to try and like catch up, and they're going to be spending extra time on core.
So
to try and catch up, and I point.
What's going to be cut?
Well, that's a very good question.
PE,
music, maybe.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just guessing.
Right,
music's already being cut.
Right. So you cut music, you cut art, cut PE.
That's right.
The kids get fatter.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
sorry, but I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I learned how to play the tambourine when I was in like the second grade.
I had that fish thing that you would take the stick and go.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
So. But no, I mean, they're going to try and concentrate more on the core, and then also, like I said, an extra, especially in the young grades, an extra 45 minutes a day in reading to try and get them back up to speed best they can.
And what we're going to get is we're going to get the excuse, which is going to be, it was a COVID year, and nobody learned, and this is terrible because, I mean, what do we pay? Sorry,
no,
I'm trying to be respectful here.
Well, and like I said, they know the test scores are going to go back up this year. They know that. It's just going to happen.
Oh, they got to.
Well, I mean, it's just going to go up.
Jeez.
Now, the question is, do they go back up to where they were pre-pandemic?
No way.
That's the question.
Yeah, no way.
The million-dollar question.
That is. All right. You're going to be doing a much deeper dive with Mark Garrison on this coming up.
Yeah, we'll have some audio cuts and everything else going into all that. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I appreciate you being here, my friend. It's always good to see you in person.
You're out here hustling, but you're also using the McDonald's app to have your favorites delivered to your door. That's hustling smarter. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app at participating McDonald's.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT, Brent Winterbull Show. It's that time of the afternoon where we get together and we cross the streams. Bo Thompson from the Bo Thompson Show joins us. Hello, Bo.
How's it going?
It's going well. Appreciate you being out there today, my friend. It's always good to catch up with you. Hey, I have a question for you. I got a question for you right out of the box. Does it seem to you from watching the news that there's an accelerated effort to try to create this impression that that Afghanistan thing happened, it's over, we're done, we're moving on to the next thing, we don't have anything to say about it? Like, it's just, it's really weird. It's like we're moving on from a winter storm or a hurricane or something.
Well, there was an actual hurricane that got in the way of that story for a few days, and I think, obviously that should have been on the front page, but it did divert attention to something else, and then I think there's sort of a rhythm to the news cycle where that makes it easier to jump to something else from that if there's something spacing between it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Definitely does. It definitely makes sense. But, I mean, we're starting to see sort of a flood of different folks. Jake Sullivan, today you saw Milley and Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin come out. And they're all kind of telling their different angle stories, and they're kind of moving down the road. But you're not seeing sort of a conversation kind of held in place. You know what I'm saying? Okay, well, what about these people who were left behind? I mean, for example, you know, we got a couple of stories out there talking about Afghanistan. We'll move to something else here in a quick second. But we've got a couple of stories out there. For example, Taliban throws victory parade with U.S. military equipment. Like, that's kind of disturbing to me, I think.
Well, yeah. And I know you've seen some of these other stories floating around. And it's hard to know what's exactly legit these days,
because
there's so much coming out, and in the social media age, it comes out from so many different places. But
it does.
You know, I saw the Black Hawk helicopter story the other day where there was someone hanging from the copter. Now, I never heard it verified as to whether or not that person was alive or dead and what they were actually doing. But, you know, my understanding is it was from a U.S. Black Hawk helicopter. And, you know, you hear these stories about the dogs that were apparently or not left behind. Mm-hmm. And then I'm sure you saw the story about the Afghan journalist that was forced to read the news while Taliban were surrounding him with guns. I mean, it really you're seeing all, and then now on top of that, this victory parade with U.S. military equipment. There does seem to be a prevailing theme with a lot of these about the U.S.-owned things being used for things they were never intended for.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it, and I think you're 100% spot on in that regard. And look, it remains to be seen. I mean, there's another story that says Biden left hundreds of U.S.-funded journalists behind in Afghanistan. So some of these people are like Voice of America, U.S. Agency for Global Media, Radio Free Europe. These are people that we were paying to cover stories, and we're like, see ya, good luck, let us know how it goes getting home. It's just shocking.
To your point earlier, you know, it's September now. It's not August anymore. We're not focusing on who's there now. We got the people that we said we would, and let's move on.
Yeah, it's frightening. It's frightening all the way around. Well, one thing that is certainly going to become front and center, I think, as we move into this fall period, is the economy. Jobs, no doubt you're starting to see things like the inflation numbers are important, obviously. You're seeing things are expensive. We're building fewer homes. That kind of stuff is an issue. But one story I saw earlier today that I think is really unbelievable. You know, this Delta variant that's been, you know, basically hammering all of us, right? We've seen the new lockdowns and things like that go in. They're actually projecting, are you ready for this, that it's going to wreck Christmas because the shelves are bare. I mean, you've been in the store, right? You see the shortages of different things. I mean, you're in there and you're kind of like, well, what happened? Did we suddenly land in 1986 in Moscow in a supermarket? I mean, stuff is short. What's up with this, Bo Thompson?
Well, I mean, not only Christmas. Well, yes, I guess the first sign of Christmas is usually Christmas trees, right?
That's right.
They've been saying for several months that the Christmas tree, and again, some of this is due to weather, some of it's due to supply chain.
Yeah.
But again, I was talking to Dale Falwell, the state treasurer, this morning, mm-hmm. and he was reiterating the fact that it's not always supply. In other words, the product is there at the end, but sometimes you know, you don't have somebody to put wheels on the car.
Right.
And in the case of Christmas, you know, there may be the supply chain, I think, is still going to be a big deal in this. And, you know, what's on shelves is one thing, but what's, you know, what's assembled on shelves or what actually never makes it, you know, to the shelves. I think it's, I haven't really thought about Christmas all that much because, you know, it's September 1st. But,
yes.
You know, I do think, and it's almost strange to say that this year more than last year will be affected by the pandemic, but it's the lingering, it's the cumulative effect of, again, how many times have we talked about the people that are, the number of people that are staying home?
Yeah.
I asked, again, back to Dale Falwell this morning, you know, we talked about the pandemic benefits, emergency benefits ending, mm-hmm. and I said to him, well, you know, if you're at home and that source of income is about to end,
right.
Yeah, you're going to be thinking about going back to the workforce, but is there not part of you that thinks that with all this Delta variant headline stuff that you may get sent right back into the situation you were before, so let's wait this out a few weeks?
That's a good point. You know, that's a huge point. And on top of it, who was making up all the shortage, really, across the summer months? It was high school and college kids that were working Carowinds, working, you know, working at restaurants and other establishments like that. Those kids have gone back to school. I think we're going to see another shortage in terms of labor, Bo.
Well, look, I already know it's happening, at least with the college kids that work some of these summer jobs. When
yep.
they leave, then the high school kids are left behind. And I know, you know, I know of some high school kids in my circles that are having to work some really incredibly long shifts. And, you know, we all work long shifts, but young people are even feeling the brunt of this because, mm-hmm. like you say, there's just a shortage of workers. I mean, it's, you know, you have the younger end of the force that's usually doing the more of the menial
right.
tasks.
That's right.
But the people in management are the people on the older end of that, and in some cases, there are no managers.
That's true. And I'll tell you what, it's gotten so bad. My son is in high school. I asked him to clean up his room. He goes, "Dad, I'm back in school. I can't do this anymore." I'm like, "Come on now, kids, don't use that on your parents." Who you got coming up on the show tomorrow?
Well, I heard you talking to Brett Jensen just a minute ago, and I know he's going to be in with Mark next hour, coming out of the CMS, you know, test scores mm-hmm. and performance meeting. Brett is always with me on Thursdays, so he'll be with me in studio tomorrow, and then head of. You know, the big college football weekend. Before the Panthers, this town is about to become a college football sports town for about a week, and Jones Angel begins his weekly visit with us, the play-by-play voice of the UNC Tar Heels as they get set for Virginia Tech. He'll join me tomorrow at 7:20. So lots going on a busy Thursday.
Gonna be awesome. Hey, Bo Thompson. Happy birthday, Bo Thompson. I know you're 29?
I'm on the doorstep of 30. I can't wait for my 30s.
Outstanding. You're going to have wonderful 30s.
That's great.
You know what? For Christmas / birthday, go buy one of them hot pink plastic Christmas trees. They'll always be in style, my friend.
I'm on my way right now.
You're out here hustling, but you're also using the McDonald's app to have your favorites delivered to your door. That's hustling smarter. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app. At participating McDonald's.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It's the Brett Waterbowl Show. Let's jump out on the phones and check in with some of the listeners out there. Stan is up next. Stan, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brett. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah, I wanted to say something about the education system.
Yes, sir.
An education represents capital to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's called capitalism. Once you get that education, you invest the time in it, for the rest of your life, you can go out and sell your time for a lot more money than you could otherwise.
That's right.
So if some people don't get one, then they can't do that. And that doesn't let the government justify Medicaid,
mm-hmm.
welfare,
mm-hmm.
and Section 8 vouchers and all the other social programs that they have. So they need some people that are just poor enough that they need that from them.
So are you saying that you need to teach capitalism to kids?
Well, you know, what I'm saying is that that's the reason that they don't want all the kids getting an education.
Yeah.
In other words, teaching kids, getting them an education isn't rocket science. We know how to do it. The only way that you could be doing it as bad as they're doing it is if this was your intent to a certain extent.
Okay. So I understand what you're saying there, but I'm going to play devil's advocate with you for a quick second, Stan, and say, wait, hold on. If I'm a teacher at a school, my intention is not to teach these kids to become dependent on the system. It's to have them be as strong a student as they possibly can be. What's your response to that?
Well, I think most of the teachers want to.
Mm-hmm.
The mob has them afraid, the loss of their job.
You know, I think that people, if you really wanted to prepare kids for the future, resiliency, I think, is probably one of the most important skill sets you can have. The ability to accept a failure or a defeat and still, you know, still keep pursuing what you want to pursue as your dream. What is missing, sorely missing, is the idea of mentorship by people who are entrepreneurs, who are teaching kids and young adults what it is and what it takes to build your own thing, your own business, your own opportunity, your own career path, whatever that is sorely lacking. I mean, there was a time where in this country you had a you had a nation of people who might have been barely literate, illiterate in many cases. Most people are able to communicate in the English language now. Most people are able to read to a large extent, things like that, right? But what people are not taught is how to translate the skills you have, whatever that skill is, into remuneration for your labor. People don't. There's no way to teach that.
Well, I think that comes with experience after you get your education.
Well, it's got to be taught early, though. You know, there's a reason why when Stan was a kid, Stan might have had a lemonade stand, right? You might have sold lemonade and made $2 or something like that, right? But you learned that I made this lemonade, I'm selling this lemonade, and I'm getting paid. That's an important lesson. That doesn't really exist anymore. Kids don't do stuff like that anymore.
The parents just don't do it with them. They just send their kids to the government school, and that's it.
Well, that's it. Exactly. Well said, Stan. I appreciate you being out there. Dean is up next. Dean, welcome to the show.
What do you say there, Brett? You ready for an education bomb?
I'm ready for an education bomb.
All right. So I have two daughters in the Mecklenburg County school system. And last year, one of them, and she's graduated out of this middle school.
Mm-hmm.
But the way, and I watched the school system leader there with his Cheshire cat grin say that they don't teach CRT.
Right.
What they were doing is they were giving the children assignments in their homeroom to go home
mm-hmm.
and research topics that were CRT related and then self-teach those topics in homeroom. So they were covering up the issues by the teachers not doing it.
Okay, wait. So was your student at AK?
AK, what do you mean?
Well, was your student at Audrey Kell?
No, no.
Because that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing with Social Justice Homeroom. You know, that's...
Right, yeah. Right, no, this is a separate middle school. This was eighth grade.
Oh, okay.
Where they were given the assignment
wow.
to research and then self-taught or peer-taught,
mm-hmm.
you know, these topics. And that's how that superintendent can stand there and smile that smile and say, we're not teaching.
You know, that's an interesting development, okay? That's an interesting story. And I'm reading something out of Colorado, a place, Jefferson County, Colorado, and there's a woman named Barbara Payden. She says that she was outraged when her daughter's assignment about women's suffrage, right, the right to vote, was rejected by her teacher. She said that her daughter wrote about an 18th century women's rights advocate in France who was beheaded. Instead of lauding the student for her initiative, her mother explained, the teacher gave the kid a zero on the assignment and said that she needs to focus on the suppression of black women's votes in the 20th century.
Yeah, they don't even care about that stuff. And it's just crazy. And that's part of the brainwashing. Don't think about anything else.
Yeah.
We tell you to do.
Well, this is good information to know, Dean. And I'm sorry to hear that that's the experience, but I'm happy you're able to share that with me. I'm working on a project involving CRT. I can't talk about it yet, but it's going to be quite a project.
You're out here hustling, but you're also using the McDonald's app to have your favorites delivered to your door. That's hustling smarter. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app. At participating McDonald's.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. It's that time of the night. It's a stormy night. Be careful.
It was a dark and stormy
night. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Garrison of Charlotte at 6 is up next. What do you got cooking there, Mark?
Well, as you know, dark and stormy times for Charlotte Mecklenburg schools. They got a horrible report card today.
Terrible.
84% of black kids basically can't read after last year. 90% of black students not on grade level in math. It was a pandemic plunge last year. It shows the at-home laptop learning just didn't work.
Oh, gosh. Let's hope that they're not going to go back to that, too. Oh, yeah, yoy.
Yeah. Companies that force employees to take the shot might want to rethink it. Human resource attorneys now weighing in, saying it creates a lot of bad situations with employees. Not a good idea. Coming up on Sunday, the big Around the Crown 10K. Are you a runner?
Only when chased.
Yeah, that's me. but you even get to run on I-277 Sunday morning. They shut that down.
Holy, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah.
I would walk it. I'm not going to run.
I might do that.
Yeah.
I'd be carried in a sedan chair.
6:35, we're doing the news quiz on Wednesday this week because Friday we have a football game. So Anna hadn't been here on the quiz in a while, and she's like talking trash to Boomer.
I'm going to check the betting line on that, see who's got the over-under there.
That's right.
All right, that's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. All right, Mark Garrison, Charlotte at 6. And you want to hear this. It's going to be an in-depth dive with Brett Jensen looking at these numbers and it's just unbelievable. I mean, these people, it's just like, come on, you got one job. You have one job. Teach the, whoa, that was a flash of lightning. You got one job to teach the kids how to read and write and do all that stuff. Let me grab Craig real quick here. Hey, Craig, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, can you hear me okay? I'm actually in a mall trying to get some sunglasses.
Oh, you sound great, and good luck getting them.
Okay, great. Yeah. I'm an entrepreneur here locally in Charlotte, and I was introduced to a group called Entrepreneurs Organization. Mm-hmm. With somebody in the school system. I went and spoke at, I think it was North Mecklenburg, about 2.5 years ago. And needless to say, it was a class of 10th graders instead of 12th graders. Uh-huh. They ate it up. They basically said, look, just tell us about how you started your business, some of the pitfalls, some of your learning lessons. And their questions were not intelligent questions because they're 10th graders.
Right.
But they were very smart questions.
Right.
Very smart questions. You could tell they wanted to know more about being able to go into business for themselves. So I think you're right. If we can get more of that in front of them at whatever age.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't necessarily need to be parents. It can be other role models. And there's a lot of entrepreneurs in Charlotte that would love to spend their time with the next generation.
I think that is such a great, I love that you're affirming what I'm hoping for here, because this is exactly right. Kids are curious, and money is certainly something that makes them curious, selling stuff, buying stuff, that kind of thing. And you don't get demoralized as a kid, too, if you do that at a young age. You know, as somebody who's like 25 years old going door-to-door selling something, you might get demoralized, but a 15, 16, 17-year-old, they're going to have the fire in the belly going.
You make a great point. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to take the rest of it off the call, and have a great rest of your show.
Call back anytime. That's a great point. This is the thing that I think is so hugely important, all right? You can't teach hustle or a work ethic except by modeling it. How many times have you seen people who are wildly successful who come from a background that might be unconventional? Okay, you think about a guy like Steve Jobs. I use this analogy every chance I can because I think it's such a hugely important thing about Steve Jobs. But he's just one example of people who have done this. The genius of Steve Jobs was for him to understand that it wasn't about the iPhone. It wasn't about the tablet per se. It wasn't about inventing that. It was about inventing the need so that you need to have that, whether it's a smartphone or a tablet. The idea that you would have a personal computer. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when the original Apple 2s, 2Es, 2 Pluses, when those came out, those were like $3,000, $3,500 systems. People like lawyers had them in their houses so that they could type on word processors, which were either amber or green. They were either amber or green monitors. And these things weighed a ton. I grew up, we got one. We got one secondhand when I was a kid from somebody who was upgrading from their system to another system. And my parents paid a pretty penny for that thing. And the thing about it is the idea that you are going to democratize technology and put a computer in your house, right, was like a foreign notion. And there was a huge amount. If you go from, and I'm not trying to like date myself. I did a lot of that in high school. But what I'm saying is, if you go from like 1975, and you go Pong, and then you get to the end of the 80s, right? You had Atari, Intellivision, you had ColecoVision, ColecoVision Atom. Then you had the computers like IBM's and Apple's and all that competition. There was a huge explosion. Why was there a huge explosion? Because of a demand. Now, kids understand demand. They understand demand. Why have kids forever traded baseball cards or any of this kind of stuff? It's because they understand the concept of demand. I am a huge believer in exposing kids to entrepreneurship. Tony's up next. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out why so many Caucasians are having problems with CRT.
Well, which Caucasians are you talking about?
Well, in general.
Yeah, but like who?
Well, you have you have parents that go to these student board meetings and are crying about masks and, and students wearing masks and protesting masks.
But that's not CRT.
I'm sorry?
But that masks aren't CRT.
You asked me which
Caucasians? I mean, you're like, hey, the Caucasians are mad about CRT. Well, who? What are you talking about? Like specifically, what's the objection on CRT that you're responding to?
Well, they don't want it taught to their children.
Okay.
And so I'm wondering why. I mean, what's the deal with that?
Have you asked any?
Well, I'm asking you. You're a Caucasian. Do you have kids in school?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, what is your objection to it?
My objection to CRT? Let's see. My objection to CRT, it's the fact that they're not disclosing what it is that's being taught to the kids. They're concealing it. You go and you try to find the information about it. They give you a runaround, and they don't give you the full facts of what it is. If you presented it on a website that people could look at it, we could have a conversation about it. But unfortunately, it's being hidden, and that which is being hidden is not to be trusted. I'm Brett Winterbull, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.